The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 16th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Hope you're having a good Monday. Hope you had a good weekend because, man, we got a lot to get to on the show today. Reactions from Auburn getting another win in the win column against New Mexico on Saturday night in the rain, in the darkness. I mean, whatever it was, Auburn comes out with the victory. Plus, so many reactions from around the country with college football because the sport through 3 weeks is hammered. I mean, it's wobbling down the sidewalk right now. It is just crazy to see what is going on around the sport of college football. So a lot of that today. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network will be back with us. We'll get updates on everything going on around Auburn Athletics. It's a busy time over here on the Plains. And so all of that and more on the show today. But before we get into everything, want to welcome in my man who's with me every Monday and Friday. He's wild. He's crazy. He is your favorite, Uncle Tebow. My man, happy Monday. Hope you're doing okay.
Happy Monday, Jacob. Doing very well. Very happy to be back in the ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika studios to discuss the entire weekend, especially Auburn versus New Mexico. You can join us at 334-321-1390 on the phone or 334-784-1067 by text here at On the Line, Jacob, the show that tells it like it is.
And holds nothing back. Do you think we're going to do that today? Do we think we're going to have some things to say?
We do it every day.
That's right. We do it every day. Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. It's the time you get that. I promise you that. And so, as he said, phone line is open. Text box is open. Get in on this. We want to hear your thoughts from the weekend. 334-321-1390 is the way to call in, or you can shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. Immediate reactions to Auburn, New Mexico. We'll get into this deeper as the show goes on, but just immediate reactions from what happened this weekend over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. We'll work our way into college football, and then we'll dive deeper into Auburn as the show goes on. But just immediate reactions for you, Uncle T-Bone, on this Monday afternoon.
I thought it was a good win. I don't know why there's hand-wringing and gnashing of the teeth, which I've been hearing from people all weekend after the game. I mean, I spent the day yesterday on the phone playing psychotherapist to Auburn fan and purist who believe that you got to have 3 yards in a cloud of dust and defense, Uncle T-Bone, to win a championship. And I'm just like, you know, folks, the game has changed. And I look at it like this. That Auburn team last year, under the same circumstances, would have struggled against New Mexico for a W. We didn't play up to perhaps some people's standards in the first half, especially the first quarter of the game, although we scored 14 points. We won 45-19. We gave up 19 points to a team that the week before against Arizona had put up 39. I mean, we talked about this Saturday on Game Day on Wings, Jack Hutton and I, defense is dead. Or just about you can start kicking dirt on it in this offense, college football offense-centric world. You get a good coach like Bronco Mendenhall, and he's an X's and O's guy who's been coaching a long, long time.
He's a great coach.
He's a really good coach. He's put 60 players signed contracts in the NFL since his head coaching career started at BYU in 2005. I mean, that guy was Brian Urlacher's coordinator at New Mexico. I mean, he's been around the block a time or two, and he ain't afraid to throw down some X's and O's against his opponent.
Sure.
You get a quarterback who's athletic and unorthodox, in today's system where it's all about offense and almost all the rules favor offense, and Dampier, who's athletic, and they're going to move the ball. They're going to get yards. All that really matters at the end for me in defense today is how many points did you give up? Did you create some turnovers? Did you get a little pressure on the quarterback? Did you perhaps get a three and out or two? And did you get a pick six or scoop and score? The best defense in today's world is a great offense. So I'm not worried about all these plethora of yards that Auburn gave up defensively. And I'm going to put it to you like this. I'm sure people are going to call in and disagree. Why in the world, if you think and you pretty much know you're going to beat New Mexico and you got way more talent than them, are you going to show all your cards to Bobby Petrino defensively and all your complexities, all your nuances and all your twists that you look to bring to him this weekend inside Jordan-Hare Stadium the week before and let him scout you? So I'm not really worried about Saturday night. I thought it was a fantastic win. You had a brand-new starting quarterback who had never gone under center as starter for Auburn. He looked fine. He looked good to me. Auburn can obviously get a lot better as a football team, just about like any other team in college football can, not named Texas, Georgia, or Alabama. And Georgia even struggled too. Today's college football world, if you're not on your A-game purist, it's not like it was 35 years ago where you know you're just going to roll in and dominate a lesser opponent. People can rise up and get you. Wake up and live, folks. It was a good win.
Let's get to the phone lines for the first time today. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Spectre.
What's going on, Spectre? Are you feeling better over there?
I'm on the mend.
Okay, good.
But listen, I'm going to tell it like it is.
Go for it.
I'm glad to see this chapter in Auburn's book is finally closed with Peyton Thorne. Been waiting over a year for this to happen, and I'm glad to see it.
Spectre, did you see your guy who transferred into South Carolina step in and almost lead them to a victory over LSU?
You talking about Ashford?
Yes, sir. Talking about Robbie Ashford, had to come into that game. I thought he played pretty decently.
Yeah, he did. It was cold.
Tough circumstance,
but he could have pulled it out. I guess he could.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see it though.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about Hank Brown on Saturday, Spectre?
I thought he was great. It's a long time waiting.
He went 17 for 25, 235 yards and 4 touchdowns, my man.
Yes. I'm glad Freeze got to see what he could do. Yeah, I don't know why he was gun-shy about putting Hank in for the last year, but he was. But I tell you, as far as the defense goes, they whooped our butts between the 20s. And other than that, I think we held our own. Because I always see Auburn's defense giving up 20 points. They can hold an opponent less than 20 points. We got the game won.
I agree with that. And honestly, Spectre, in today's college football world, I think you can raise that over-under a little bit, although it didn't happen against Cal.
I've always said 24. 24 has been my magic number.
If you keep a team under 24 points, if you've got any kind of offense – you should win 8 out of those 10 games at least.
Absolutely. And I saw the struggle on the defense. I mean, you got – it's like somebody had brought it up. I think I heard it on Max's show – I mean, Doug's show – that our secondary seemed to be cheating on – giving the linebackers more help than they should have and letting guys get behind them. And like I said, that was between the 20s. But once they got down there, they kind of held them to field goals and so forth. But I think we can correct that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Spectre, good to hear from you, my man.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much. Spectre joining us on the phone lines, 334-321-1390. They are open for you as well. Also, just got a text in our on-the-line text box. That number, 334-784-1067, says, Robbie was awesome, is what someone says. And look, he came in and he almost beat LSU.
Awesome.
I don't know if he was awesome, but he did come in and help South Carolina almost pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, he had a few costly turnovers. One of them I thought was a throw that there were several calls in that South Carolina game versus LSU and Carolina at home where they didn't get home cooking. Jacob. And one of those turnovers I thought was a throw where his arm was moving forward. I mean, he did about what you can do as a backup QB in a tough situation. I mean, I'm not going to say that he cost them the games, and I hate to say it, as much as the refereeing benefited LSU and kept them in the game. Garrett Nussmeier's on a whole different level, though, Jacob. That guy's going to the NFL if he keeps playing like he has been.
I'm just not sold on LSU. I'm really not. I'm not sold on
Brian Kelly.
No, I don't think I am either. When I was preseason, but three games in, and it's so up in the air for Brian Kelly there in Baton Rouge. More on that later. I got to get my thoughts on this as well, but want to get back to the phone line. Shane, you're on the line, man. Happy Monday.
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing good, man. What's up?
Just wanted to chime in.
Sure.
I'm trying not to get, you know, overly excited about the offense. I liked what I saw a lot. I thought that is exactly what I was hoping for, is like not a world beater, an accurate passer. He was efficient. He didn't turn it over. It's like AJ McCarron. You know, he wasn't a world beater. He didn't go out and win it. He gave it to the people that did win it. You know, that's what I was hoping for, is somebody that just could distribute it to the guys that could win it for us. The defense, I was a little upset first quarter, but then they kind of shook it off and they held their own. Yeah, they got some yards on them, but they didn't get. They only got six more points the rest of the game. So I was okay with the adjustment that they made, and happy with what I saw offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of that can be true, and I think overall, right, it's a game where Auburn puts up 45, only gives up 19. It's one of those results where, yeah, if you're scrolling through the ESPN app or something, you see it, and you're like, okay, yeah, Auburn handled business, and you move on. But for us, we obviously break it down a little bit more, yeah. and you're able to pick it apart. But I think Auburn fans, for the most part, like yourself, Shane, should be happy with the win.
Happy with it, but not overly ecstatic. Like, you know, we're not going to win a championship this year. So it's okay, you know, that we're not playing, you know, championship level, because we're not championship level. Whatever level we are at now, right now, I want efficiency, and that's not get embarrassed like we did the previous week.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Shane, appreciate it, man. Great to hear from you, brother.
All right, War Eagle, guys.
Yes, sir, to you as well. I want to remind people, too, what the goal of a college football team is week in and week out. The ultimate goal for the season, yes, is to win a championship, or at least compete for one, right? But for a football team and a football program, I don't care if it's Ohio State, I don't care if it is Colorado, I don't care if it's Alabama A&M. The goal through a football season is to get better every week, to get better every game. And through the first 3 weeks of the season, Auburn has not done that consistently, right? Auburn took a step back against Cal, but that's because the competition took a step up. So it's hard to judge that. But Auburn corrected a lot of the mistakes they had against Cal against New Mexico. Now, there were a lot of changes, and there's different variables, and throwing you back to science class here in middle school, right? You start changing variables, you've got to change your formula a little bit here, and you have to change how you look at this. And so now moving forward, since we believe we have everything in place, I know the offensive line has a lot of changes. There's some injuries there, and even in the secondary, there's some injuries, and Cam Coleman didn't play this Saturday, but we seem to have fixed the main issue on offense, which is Hank Brown playing quarterback, and then you've got to fix the defensive problems. Now the question is, okay, can Auburn get better from this past week going into Arkansas? Can they play a good game against Arkansas and put on a good performance and try to compete with Oklahoma? That's what a team is trying to do. And overall, before we get to break, I think Auburn played good on Saturday. Did Auburn play good enough on Saturday to beat a team like Georgia or Missouri? No, probably not. And with those secondary issues, I promise you, Carson Beck and Brady Cook are going to tear them apart, especially on the road if they don't get them fixed. And Hugh Freeze talked about that today in his weekly press conference. But Hank Brown is the answer. I don't care that it was against New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
He made the right decisions. He made the right plays, and he didn't turn the ball over. And Auburn also ran the ball a lot more, but Hugh Freeze has made this very, very clear. We're about to get to break. Hugh Freeze made this very clear today that they don't go into the game saying, we're going to run 25 run plays and we're going to run 18 pass plays. Do you know how many options there are? Do you know how many RPOs they call? He said Hank Brown, every time it was supposed to be a run in that scenario, Hank made the right call. And Hank said, here's a run, and he made a run play. That's what I needed to hear. That's what I needed to know, was that Hank Brown made the right decisions. Had three plays, Hugh Freeze said he thinks he made the wrong decision, but it didn't lead to turnovers. It didn't lead to points going the other way. And I think that's a huge part of what happened on Saturday. And I want to get into this a little bit more as we go on throughout the show today. Plus, we got to get into what happened around college football, around the SEC. Lots more to get to. We're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Rolling on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I am Jacob Goins. And before we get into some more content, want to let everybody know about our weekly Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. Okay, every single week we pick a local player in high school football. We do it during basketball, baseball, softball, throughout all the seasons. And we pick an athlete who just had a stellar performance, and we have them nominated as our Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. And this is a familiar name, a familiar face. He is a two-time winner already this year, but it's impossible not to pick this young man because Omar Mabson for Auburn High School Football went for 5 total touchdowns on Friday night at Enterprise, 4 on the ground, Uncle T-Bone, 1 through the air. And he helped Auburn High, as the number 4 team in the state, take down the number 2 team in the state, Enterprise, 53-22. Omar Mabson is your Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. This dude is a beast. Omar Mabson Jr.
Congratulations to Omar Jr. Getting a little payback on those Enterprise Wildcats. Came up to the Duck last year, and with the big upset. Eric Winters apparently had a pretty good ball game, I heard.
Eric Winters had a good game. Purcell had a good game. Zion Grady had a good game. Like, Eric Winters had a 99-yard kickoff return.
Now, I got to tip the hat to Auburn for, you know, you got an emotional victory the week before at home against Opelika, and then you got to go on the road, and that's no short trip down to South Alabama and to the Wiregrass to get to Enterprise. And, you know, that's just got classic letdown game written all over it.
That's
a
beautiful stadium down there.
They just explode on Enterprise.
Yeah, they did.
Mop the floor with them, taking it back up 231 North for the big W. So,
yep.
That was really exciting to listen to. And congratulations to Omar Mabson Jr. and the Auburn High Tigers. They got to be, what, cruising to number 2 in the state now?
I would think so. Central had a scare on Friday
night. Maybe number 1.
I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, Central had a scare against Dothan, who's a really good team, on Friday night. Opelika rolled on Friday night. Lee Scott rolled on Friday night. I wouldn't say rolled. They won, though. They beat Beulah by a couple of scores. I mean, that was a really, really good Beulah team. Lee Scott's still undefeated. Our boy Christian Griffin, Rec Chrome over on the Lee Scott Network. They're 4-0, man. They're 4-0. They just keep taking down the teams on their schedule. They are at Randolph County this week, so we'll see.
That's going to be a tough matchup, but Lee Scott keeps winning, and they're going to keep bumping them up in classification. Starting out 4-0, right?
Yeah.
How about that? Congratulations to the Warriors, all the local teams, Opelika with a big W as well. They're a very good football team. Some fantastic high school football being played in the area, and hats off to everybody. So, but Omar Jr. is the man. And boy, oh boy, I wish Auburn go ahead and scoop him up if they can.
Yeah, he is a junior, reminder, so he's got a whole nother year. And he's
got to be the number one running back one of the number one running backs in the country,
right?
He
could go anywhere. I mean, he could just about go anywhere. And so keep that in mind. Omar Mapson Jr., the Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. You got him, and then, yeah, we'll do that every single week throughout the entire high school athletic seasons. And so before we dive deeper into some more Auburn stuff, we got a few minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Let's do this segment again because it's always fun on a Monday. Biggest winners and losers in college football this weekend. Because there was a lot. There was a lot that happened. For a week that wasn't supposed to be all that crazy,
right?
A lot went down. And my biggest loser continues to be programs in the state of Florida not named Miami. Florida and Florida State are in a horrific downward spiral. I saw a stat the other day, and I don't know where I saw it, so I can't give proper credit. I did not find this. But I believe it said since 1955... this is the first time that Florida and Florida State, through the first 3 weeks of a college football season, both have a losing record. Florida State 0-3. Florida just looked terrible against Texas A&M. Dropped another one at home. They're 1-2.
1955. That's when Lee Corso played at Florida State. I guess if I'm going to have to pick between one or the other, I'm going to have to go with Billy Napier right now as the biggest loser, which he's about to be probably the biggest winner in life with some type of massive buyout that I'm sure that they're trying to cobble together down in Gainesville at the moment.
Sure.
Florida State's, it's got its own problems for sure. Cam Riley, former Auburn linebacker, gets hurt in that game. They've already had injury issues this year. DJU is horrible. And that just goes to show what Nick Saban was saying in the portal. You're SOL if you get the wrong guys.
Yep.
Billy Napier in Florida, though, just no showing for the majority of that game at home at Texas A&M. When you know what is on the line. Look, Mike Norvell's not going to leave. He's not going anywhere, no matter what happens this season. But Billy Napier needed that win bad. Texas A&M sits your boy Connor Wegman down. He's horrible, too. And you can see the difference that their quarterback change made. And Mike Elko in there went in there and took care of business. So Florida is no doubt in my mind the biggest loser right now, probably in all of college football, not named Florida State. And biggest winner, man, I'm going to hate to say it, but I'm going to have to go with Jalen Milroe. That guy, in my opinion, is leading the Heisman candidacy right now. He was on fire. Alabama, here we go again. Looks really good, especially offensively. I don't know if they definitely look sharper offensively. Defensive, listen, you knock a quarterback out, which it wasn't a cheap hit or anything. It's just a football play. And Wisconsin's kind of anyway on offense and boring. They were going to have to play a perfect game of ball control to keep Milroe off the field and win that game. But when the quarterback goes out, and he wasn't that great anyway, and you bring in a backup quarterback, they were D-U-N-N, former Alabama quarterback Jeff Dunn.
I mean, there's a lot of winners. I think Indiana has to be thrown in the mix here. They went out to UCLA in the Rose Bowl and hung 42 on the Bruins in Los Angeles. So throw Indiana in there. They're 3-0. You have so many teams. I think Ole Miss reminded everybody just how good they are. Forest is any good, but nobody even knew Ole Miss was playing that game because it was over before it started.
A lot of people thought that they were a little bit better team, including yours truly, than most of the people on the streets. Then that morning, we were on game day on Wings, Jacob. That line was going down all day. And it started out like 24.5, 25.5 points, and by kickoff, it was down to 21. I was like, uh-oh, somebody knows. I guess going into Winston-Salem, North Carolina on a Saturday night, it's very intimidating, right? Lane Kiffin goes in there and just dominates.
One of my biggest winners, and not because of what they did or I guess who they beat this weekend, but it just looks different than it has for a long, long time in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's the Volunteers.
Wow.
They're a top 10 team. The biggest winner is the SEC, by the way. I think that's the correct answer because of the top 10. Have you seen the AP poll recently? It's dominated by the SEC.
No, but if you look over there at RadioFreeAuburn.com for your local ESPN top 20, ESPN 106.7 with your local pundits, 6 of the top 10 teams are from the SEC, 8 of the top 20 teams in college football, which I think is completely accurate, and then you got others receiving vote in Texas A&M. So, and I don't see how you can leave South Carolina out, truly. I mean, if Lenoria Sellers comes back, they're a top 25 team.
I look at Tennessee, man.
They are so dangerous and explosive.
They're so
good. Now, listen, it was Kent State.
Oh, I know.
And Omar Mapson Jr. would have run hog wild on Kent State like he did Enterprise also. But still,
we're going to find out this weekend.
It's crazy.
Tennessee heads to Oklahoma for their SEC opener in Norman. Talk about a huge game. 6:30 Saturday night on ABC. I don't know, man. It just looks a little different in Knoxville right now. I'm not buying in on them yet because I've been there before and I'm tired of getting burned by that nasty color orange. But more to talk about with Auburn and New Mexico. Hank Brown has a new era started for Auburn football offensively. More on that coming up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Doing that on this Monday as we are reacting to everything that happened around college football this weekend. Most importantly, Auburn's win over New Mexico. And we'd still love to get your thoughts on that and a whole lot more. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We head there once again. John in Auburn, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm going to tell you, I'll get to Auburn in a second with a question, but have a comment on Florida first. It might get a lot uglier for Billy Napier. Not sure if y'all have seen this yet. Multiple media outlets, nobody's got footage of it, but apparently he got in a shoving match in the tunnel with Albert E. Gator, the Florida mascot.
Billy did?
Stop
yes.
it. Is this real?
Oh, no way.
Supposedly this is real. Nobody's got video of it yet.
Oh.
But that's what media outlets are saying down there.
Wow. How bad is that? If you're so upset, you're so depressed, you're so frustrated because your team is bad that you get into it with the Florida Gators mascot because he bumped into you wrong. How crazy would that be?
Now Mr. Met had to be restrained a few years ago for a similar thing at a Mets game, which I found great as a Braves fan. But anyway, let me hit you with an Auburn question real quick.
Sure.
So we're a quarter of the way through the season.
Yeah, that's a depressing statement. Oh,
isn't it? If you had to take a guess at Auburn's record at the end of the season, maybe 7-5. And where I'm going with this is, I was talking with an athletic director the other day, who said, "Look, you look at Norvell at Florida State. He's somebody who probably should have gotten an extension at the end of last year, didn't, and now he might get run."
Well,
looking at Auburn, if Freeze is 7-5, doesn't Auburn have to pony up and give him an extension?
Oh, I don't know about that. I've done some soul searching on all this, how you pay coaches over the last couple of weeks, John, and I think it's one of the biggest problems in college football between Gus Malzahn leaving and then the hiring and firing of Brian Harsin. Just in payouts alone for those two was just north of $37 million, not including what you had to pay them to be here, not including what you had to pay to their staffs to leave, not including what you had to pay for the new staffs and the intern coaches and the intern coaches, head coaches, and Kevin Steele, Carnell Williams, a guest parachute that they got for stepping up and taking one for the team. So this whole concept of these coaches coming in after a good season or a mediocre season and saying, "Oh, I'm going to get a buyout or else, I mean, I'm going to get an extension or else," is like, nah, I'm taking a hard line approach to it and say, we'll pay you when you're rolling. And that's it. And here's your contract. I just can't see how. I mean, if someone wants to come after a coach who just went 7-5, like a Florida State or Florida, they can pay us that buyout, and then we'll go get a new coach, and thanks for the money.
I fascinating to see how Auburn plays this during the next 3 months. Anyway, thank you for your time, guys.
Appreciate it, John. Always great to hear from you, my friend. 334-321-1390. I'm with you, T-Bot.
I'm tired of it.
I hate the I don't even know if it's called narrative or just the I don't know the word I'm looking for there. Just the trend, I guess, is the best way to say it. Of, oh, let's pay this coach a boatload of money, so hopefully, and hope to the Lord he doesn't leave us. I don't get that. And if anybody should not be that way, it should be Auburn, the one that's been burned time and time again, paying coaches to not coach. I hate this trend that college football has gone through, because there's nothing that frustrates. I mean, if you're a local business owner out there and you fire somebody right now, could you imagine paying them for the next 4 years to not work for your company? And you fired them because they sucked. You fired them because they underperformed and did not do their job to the standard that you held for it, right? And so why would you want to pay that person and agree to pay that person in advance, and then when they don't work for you anymore, you're still paying them money? Player contracts in professional sports work the same way at times. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I get the whole idea of, well, if it works out with Hugh Freeze at Auburn, we don't ever want to lose him. Yeah, I get that. But if it works out with Hugh Freeze at Auburn, do you really think he's going to go anywhere? Why would he?
This is part of my new turning over the leaf narrative for now, Jacob. This, I don't know if I'm growing as a fan, but the holding on so tight that it has to be a certain way like it always has been in college football, to me, is how you get into these situations where you got mega buyouts and mediocre seasons. You got to be able to roll with the punches. And I've seen coaches come and go now for a very long time at Auburn.
Yeah.
And coaches will come and go at Auburn until the day I die, and then some, and then some, and then some, as long as there's a football game happening somewhere. Last year, an article came out on ESPN, Jacob, by Paula Levine. $146 million in buyouts owed to fire Power 5 football coaches since 2022.
Across college football?
Since 2022, $146 million to fired football coaches. The majority of that, you know, according to her, Jimbo Fisher, it's $76 million.
That makes me sick. And
who
I'm not,
signed
that, makes
that
me sick.
Deal? How are you in charge of anything? That is ridiculous. Here's a few of those other lists. 15.5 for Brian Harsin. Ugh. $15 million Scott Frost at Nebraska. $11 to Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech. $11 to Paul Christ at Wisconsin. I forgot he got fired. $8 million to Carl Durrell.
What's a better job, being a kicker?
$4 million at Mississippi State to Zach Arnett.
Yikes.
And I know what the purists are going to say. That's just how it is. Jimmy Sexton's got – you're not ever going to get a good coach if you don't give a good buyout on the con. Nobody would come here. That is a farce. That is a farce. You're telling me if you just said we're not giving big buyouts anymore, there's not one good football coach that's going to come here to Auburn University and step up and say, I'll take a chance on that. You've been doing it one way for so long, you've already had to pay out $37 million just in 4 years, Auburn. Do you think you could get somebody to come in and give it a shot who just wouldn't require that?
It goes along with the trend of where NIL went, right, when it first started, of why are we paying kids off their name, image, and likeness that don't have name, image, and likeness yet? We're paying kids millions of dollars about their name, image, and likeness before they even play a snap of collegiate football. It's the same idea. We're paying them on the potential rather than on performance. I've worked my entire life. I've never been paid on potential. Ever.
You're getting
in my entire life. I've been paid an opportunity. That's exactly right. I, Jacob Goins, get paid in opportunities. I host a show on ESPN Radio, and I call Auburn High School Athletics. Those are the opportunities that I have because I performed well before. They're not paying me because of what they think I could do. That's not how that works. That's not how the real world works, but yet college football has taken such a different turn here. And I know we're going down a rabbit hole. We'll get out of it in just a second, but I don't know.
College football's fantasy land.
Well, in a world, too, Uncle T-Bone, where money is more important than ever before in college football. It's more important than ever because you're paying players. So why are you worried about, or why are you trying to pay coaches all this money when you could use that to buy a quarterback?
Well, that's the whole argument, too, in the past, and I know where John's coming from. Like, you better give Hugh Freeze an extension because he can't go out on the recruiting trail. He just can't do it, Jacob Goins, and because he's only got 4 years on his contract, and people are going to negatively recruit and say they're not standing behind their guy.
That's dumb.
You don't even have to hardly go out on the recruiting trail anymore if you want to be successful in college football with an extended football playoff. You want to be really good at recruiting, but if you go out and get the right combination from the NIL, like Lane Kiffin has, along with decent recruiting, you're going to the college football playoff if you know what you're doing, man. You got the right guys. So this whole it's like year in, year out, everything's been turned upside down, and you got to learn, fans, how to just roll with the punches. Because what was, no matter, no longer is. It doesn't – you used to know going into a season that Alabama or Georgia was going to dominate, or so-and-so was going to dominate because over the last 3 years they've recruited so well. They got all this coming back. You don't know. You don't know what half these teams got. You don't know anything about New Mexico. I knew there were people watching the game and me didn't even know Bronco Mendenhall was their coach. And they're like, wait, who? What? That guy can coach.
Mm-hmm.
Year in, year out, a team can look completely different because of the NIL and the portal. And I think this is one of the reasons why, from what I've heard, local man – perhaps that guy answering the phone has been cleaning the streets, and local players might be sleeping on them soon if they don't start picking better, because the tradition of what you knew is no longer there except for a very few programs.
Which is why, as we get back to the topic at hand, a win over New Mexico is still a solid win.
I agree totally.
There will be people that don't agree with that. Do I think Auburn played a perfect game Saturday? No, not by any means. There's a lot to clean up. Ask Hugh Freeze. Listen to his press conference today. He'll tell you. There's a lot to clean up. But a win over a team like that is only going to get better as the years go on. Long gone are the days of pay. And I think this says something, too. I think we could get to the point where a school like Auburn will quit paying teams like New Mexico to come play because that team is getting better anyway. And I think that gets into the whole splitting off the NCAA thing, yada, yada. But what I'm saying is long gone are the days of paying New Mexico to come in for homecoming and get beat 58 to nothing. Those days are gone.
They're gone. They're over.
And you heard Hugh Freeze today. He said they overworked their defense this past week in preparation for New Mexico. He said they looked tired this Saturday because they worked them in practice to be ready for a game like this, which is refreshing to hear because we saw a handful of times last year where they underprepared, they were focused on the wrong things, and they ended up getting beat. So I liked to hear that, and I liked to see it, and I liked to see Auburn win a football game, and they did that this past Saturday.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it from what we've talked about earlier. You got six of the top 10 teams from the SEC in whatever poll you want to look around the country. Just go to RadioFreeAuburn.com to check out the ESPN local top 20. Okay, we'll just go with that one. Eight of the top 20. One team receiving votes and one that probably should. That's 10 teams. At best, right now, Auburn is 11th in the SEC. And I'm not taking a shot at the Tigers or that football program. But for in next year, that could totally flip, and Missouri could be there, or Oklahoma could be there. Very few teams moving forward will be dominant year in, year out in this new environment of college football. And the portal can make, you know, you can live by the portal, you can die by the portal. But
absolutely,
you mess around like Florida State and you get the wrong guy in at a key position out of the portal that you're counting on, and then you get the wrong combination of teams that have upgraded drastically that you know back in the day you used to dominate, like Georgia Tech, who's way better, like Boston College, who is remarkably better and well-coached, by the way, like Memphis, who's very solid and might be trending towards a playoff berth. You get the wrong combination in your schedule, and you miss on the wrong folks in the portal, and that's how you're 0-3. That is the world we live in college football. A win over New Mexico is a good, solid win now, folks. Live with it. Learn it and love it.
334-321-1390. Got a big text to get to when we come back as we wrap up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And we've been talking a lot, Uncle Tebow, like we just were in that last segment, about how Auburn fans should, in our minds, you should be happy with a win that you got on Saturday. That was a solid New Mexico team, good coach, good quarterback, right? Yes, their defense was bad, and Hank Brown looked good. We got more on that coming up in hour number two. But just because you should be happy with a W doesn't mean there aren't things to criticize. Doesn't mean there aren't things that could be fixed. And got this text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. It says, Jacob and Uncle T-Bone, I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing our senior running back fumble the ball in the back-to-back games. I'm tired of seeing Keontae Scott fumble a punt and struggle on defense. Why is Malcolm Simmons not returning punts? This team and fans need more out of these seniors on game day. If they don't want to practice as hard as the young guns, according to Hugh Freeze, then let's go with the young guys. And I'm going to jump in on all of that, because all of that is exactly the things that I was talking about on Saturday night after the game.
Yeah.
Jarquez Hunter putting the football on the ground is not okay. Now, rain, I know, played a big factor this Saturday, and that's part of it. But he's right. Back-to-back games, Jarquez Hunter's put the football on the ground. And I don't remember who it was. It may have been Bill. I think it was Bill Cameron, who asked Hugh Freeze this morning at the presser about Keontae Scott and his, and not even Butterfingers, the fact that he can't catch punts. He's muffed punts time and time again. At what point do you take him off the field? He struggled defensively, too. You're absolutely right. But Hugh Freeze told us in fall camp that there are other guys who can catch punts. And Keontae was not one that he said he trusts the most to catch the football. I don't care how electric he is with it in his hands, Uncle T-Bone. I don't care that he can flip the field. Does it matter if you can't catch the football? If you drop it and give it to the other team at the 30-yard line, guess how much good that does you? None. Does you none. And to his last point, Freeze has told us before that he's got to get the older guys to buy in as much as the young guys. He hyped up the young guys today for 10 minutes in his press conference. Said he loves what he sees from them because they're hungry. They want to be there. They want to get better. You know what he doesn't say that about? Older guys. Any of the juniors and seniors on this team doesn't say it once about any of them. And that's a culture problem.
Well, the majority of the juniors and seniors, if they're still on the team, are probably his recruits, right? Aren't most of the people from the last regime just about shuffled out by now with the portal and everything? So I don't know. You know, maybe it's just that he doesn't like the transfer portal guys in there. We had this conversation Saturday. I mean, Jack and I talked about this ad nauseum. It's, if you're going to lose, it's time to go with the young guys. Goodbye, older dudes. You've had your chance. Goodbye, good riddance. Thank you so much. You know, mediocre is mediocre. You might as well be mediocre with younger guys and see if you can't get better for the future. I was very hard Saturday on the fact that I want to see Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Bryce Kane, and Malcolm Simmons on the field all at the same time, the fabled Freeze Four.
Yeah, Freeze talked about it today. He said, we've seen enough. Malcolm Simmons has to get more touches.
Yeah, he's been catching some crud about that.
I've been calling for a Malcolm Simmons jet sweep touchdown for the first 3 weeks of the season. He almost got it Saturday. He didn't, but he almost did.
I'll say this. The older dudes who played at receiver played the majority of the game.
Well, Cam Coleman was out.
And they looked pretty dang hungry to me in this game.
Good.
Yeah, they looked a lot better. I think that message has been sent, at least at the wide receiver position. I don't want to see Malcolm Simmons just in the game for a particular package like Malzahn used to do with Mario Fannin. And then who was the guy that he would put in and it running back and you knew Harold Joyner. Was it Harold Joyner? You knew it was some type of little slip screen pass that he threw. Like, I mean, I'm sitting there at home calling it out. I know that the Jeremy Pruitts of the world were calling it out, you know, at that time. So, listen, I think that there's – you just got to go with the hot hand. Auburn's older receivers were hot this weekend, so they played more, and we won the football game. I can't call out anybody for that. But I would like to see a little bit younger movement to youth as the season goes on. That requires Auburn getting better, you know, just a little bit better.
And that requires the young guys to get better.
That's right. And you know, you said earlier, can Auburn get better this weekend with Arkansas coming to town? They better. Because if not, Bobby Petrino is going to try and cut their throats.
Especially in that secondary, man. They're going to pick them apart.
You know, I'm not going to say, though, also because New Mexico lit us up, that just means Arkansas is going to light us up, too. I can't say that until I see it. I mean, you know, I'm going to have to see a little bit more data out of this defense before I'm going to kick dirt on the secondary and DJ Durkin. Did they have a great game? No. Is Bronco Mendenhall a great offensive coach or a good offensive coach? Yes. Did he have a playmaker at quarterback who can create some problems? Yes. Has Auburn struggled for years with athletic, unorthodox quarterbacks? Yes. So just because A happened doesn't mean B is going to happen next weekend. But they better be ready because Bobby Petrino is a heck of a coach.
And Freeze admitted New Mexico threw a lot more at them than they were prepared for. And only give up 19 points in that scenario?
Listen, they'd scored 70 points in two games.
Yeah.
I mean, you only gave up 19. Let them run in between the 20s. Tighten up in the red zone at the very least.
To flip back to offense, we got to give our thoughts on old Hank Brown and his first start in his college career. Our thoughts on that, plus more phone calls coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
On the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. We'll post today's show as a podcast on our station website. You can find that at ESPNAU.com. We talked a lot of Auburn football in hour one, a little high school football hour one, some other college football results as well. So all of that was in the first hour. A lot on the defensive side, had a lot of phone calls in there as well, so be sure that you go and catch back up with that later on today at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us in about 30 minutes. We'll talk to him, his thoughts on Auburn football, plus all of the updates around Auburn athletics, volleyball, soccer, baseball renovations. I was over there today looking really good. All right, we'll talk to him about all of that. Tiger talk coming up tonight, so we'll have that for you here in this hour as well. Plus, more of your phone calls at 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get to the phone lines, want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN Radio. To the phone lines we go, 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line. We appreciate you holding on through the break, my man. What's up?
War Eagle. There you go. I'm back in. I took some medicine this weekend. I can be a good fan again.
You're on the positive side of things, huh?
Well, not only the win, it's that night tailgate. You know, those are the people that are dedicated, especially in the rain. That shows me the true blue guys that like to come out and have fun. And it was probably one of our best tailgates in a while.
Awesome.
This one older lady, she's so sweet. She's always like, "We've never lost a tailgate."
Hard to lose a tailgate, I guess.
Yeah. But that was the kind of attitude we needed the prior week. But two things. Wanted to shout out to your fan that gave my family some tickets. We got to actually go and enjoy the game.
Good. Yeah, and, I'm glad all that was able to get worked out. We got great people that listen to this show, man.
Yeah, so if you're listening, appreciate you. And he said, "Oh, the weather's kind of bad. If you want to do another game," like, these kind of games are good because you'll remember them. You know, like I remember that West Virginia game. Sometimes
sure.
You just need to go to a rain game. And also, we're right in front of the big screen, so I actually had to watch the football game. Usually, wherever I sit, I'm just watching the big TV there. So I actually watched the football game. So it was pretty cool.
Second, there you go. Well, hey, he just texted in and said War Eagle to you, Andy. So there you go.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. So, secondly, this is kind of related to Auburn. I've been doing pretty good betting. So, just like any degenerate, I went for a home run this weekend and started doing parlays. So, every bet I did, which I hit about 60% of them, was parlayed or teased with against an old Auburn quarterback. You know who I'm talking about that's in the NFL?
Malik Willis for Green Bay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I forgot you're a Green Bay.
Yeah,
guy.
So, yeah. My Packers won this weekend, Andy. It wasn't pretty, but they did get it done.
Well, I went against them. Like, well, surely if this guy couldn't even start here at Auburn, he can't beat. I remember that bet I bet on with Love last year. Green Bay couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then he learned how to play football around midway. But anyways, I cannot believe that. Again, I think he's the only. Is he the only Auburn quarterback that's out there? And we kicked him off the team or we made him leave.
I mean, Bo Nix is in the NFL. He's 0-2, but he's starting for Denver.
Well, did we kick him off? Did we make him leave? So both quarterbacks in the NFL played for Auburn but left us for other schools.
Correct.
Basically.
Yep.
Okay. That's hard.
Yeah. Andy, appreciate the call, man. My man.
Yep,
thanks so much. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the quarterback situation here, Uncle T-Bone, because we didn't talk a lot about this in the first hour, and it might just be the biggest story about Auburn this past weekend, making a quarterback change, and it was the Hank Brown Show on Saturday night, and most of the weather held off. No, it wasn't pretty. It did have there was a downpour or two there in the football game, but Hank Brown, in his first start in college football, he seemed, and Freeze talked a lot about this today, he seemed very poised. He seemed controlled. It didn't seem too big for him. Didn't seem like the lights were overly bright for him. There was a really good video that I don't remember who took it. It was on social media. But they were standing behind him when he was announced the starter on the big video board, and he just went through the motions. He just did his thing. And then most people have seen the clips of him with Taylor Davis, former Auburn alum, by the way, on ESPN, who interviewed Hank Brown after the game. And this dude's got some swag. I mean, this dude has a little pep in his step. He thanked the Lord, which was awesome to hear, and gave all glory to God. And then you can just tell he's a cool cat, man. Hank Brown stepped in, 17 of 25. A couple of those were drops. 235 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions for Hank Brown. He was the only quarterback that saw the field on Saturday. Uncle T-Bone, your thoughts on the performance of Mr. Hank Brown?
Hank Money in the Bank Brown. You know, I thought early in the game he was staring down receivers. It's obvious that he can take some coaching, and someone probably pointed out to him, "Hey, buddy, you might want to look off a safety or two," and he started doing that. I saw him several times check down when everything was covered up, further downfield, getting a touchdown pass to Jarquez Hunter in a situation where he did that. Wow, I mean, you can actually kind of throw to a backfield out of the, you know, a running back out of the backfield now.
Mm.
I mean, he opened up the field, the total field, you know, both left and right, mid-range, short and long. got a nice release. He gets ball rid of the ball very quickly, which I like to see.
I love the flick of the wrist he has, too.
Throws a good football. Obviously, tell he's been coached very well in high school, where Trent Dilfer was coach, now the coach at UAB. Former Super Bowl winning quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you know, he's got some coaching. He's got some abilities. I don't know how big the arm is just yet. I want to see it under duress. Getting away with a deep ball to Cam Coleman against Arkansas would be nice to see.
Well, I think you kind of got the answer to that when the Hail Mary attempt at the end of the half where they put in Holden Gurner, and we don't have to talk about how that went down. But
right,
you saw that where they pulled Hank, and whether that was, hey, we don't want to potentially throw the dude's arm out, or we just trust Holden to get it down there a little bit more, I don't know. But I'll say this about Hank.
Yeah, you know, that type of throw doesn't show to me like arm strength. I want to see, you know, a 50-yard strike on the money.
Yeah, step up in the pocket, two-step.
Nice one to KLS down the sideline that hit him perfectly in stride. You know, I'm not asking him to have that deep ball that looks like Jalen Milroe's, which is just absolute money. But I want to see what this looks like against a better team, perhaps a better defense, and under a little bit of more duress. I'm very satisfied with what I saw Saturday night. I think it's a step in the right direction. But I'm going to have to see a little bit more before I'm just going to say that we're in good hands with Hank.
Well, I'll say this about Hank Brown, number 15 for Auburn. I saw a couple of throws on Saturday. I saw a couple of throws that he made that hit the dude in the hands in stride. Nobody slowed up. Nobody had to stop. Nobody had to readjust. He made a couple of throws on Saturday that Peyton Thorne wasn't making.
That's what told me
there was a difference. That's what showed me, okay, there is a difference here. Not that Peyton's not a good quarterback, but Hank Brown just made some really impressive throws. And more importantly, and this was before we heard Coach Freeze talk this morning, I thought he made some really good decisions, even on some checkdowns, even on some dump downs. Even the one, was it Jarquez over the middle right there in the red zone where he rushed towards the goal line? He may have scored on that play. I can't quite remember. But it was just a broken play. Nothing was working, so Hank just looked straight ahead, dumped it down, and boom. Found a running back for a nice gain. Like, those are the plays I want to see the quarterback make. I'm not looking for you to make the home run ball every time, because that's not always the game plan. That's not always going to be there. But it seemed, when I was watching the game, there were a couple of throws, especially one where he thankfully clocked it in the grass, where he threw into like triple coverage on an out route, and I was like, oh, hey-o, all right, maybe not such a great pass there, Hank. But Freeze told us today there were three plays that he disagreed with on Hank Brown. And it wasn't that he made just a pure wrong decision. Freeze said there was just a better decision. But every time that Hank Brown was supposed, in the RPO, was supposed to hand it off and run the football, he did every single time. Hugh Freeze said he ran that perfection, 100%, nailed it every time. And I think if you're Hugh Freeze right now, you have to at least feel more comfortable going into the Arkansas game with Hank Brown after a nice performance against New Mexico and making the right read on what the based off of what the defense is showing you. That has nothing to do with how good that defense is, Uncle T-Bone. That has nothing to do with that. Now, making the play when the ball is snapped, that's a different story. But reading the defense and judging it and mixing up your play call and changing your play call and executing it based off of what they're showing you, doing all of that pre-snap, that's in the quarterback's brain. Right. That's his execution. That is his skill level being where it needs to be. And so if you're Hugh Freeze, you've got to feel better about Hank Brown going in against Arkansas than you did Peyton Thorne, because he made better plays, and he made less mistakes, and he didn't turn it over. None. No turnovers on Saturday for Hank Brown. Running backs are a different story. Punt returns, different story. But the quarterback had a great day.
Yeah, I thought it was a very solid opening day for him, no doubt about it. confidence-wise, too, I see something in him I mean, he just kind of lets it rip, you know, and that's something a quarterback has just – he cannot have any self-doubt. You got to think that with Peyton Thorne that doubt had crept in.
I think you could see it, yeah.
Not just this season, but going back to last. And if you're not a totally confident quarterback, you're not a comfortable one, and that just that little bit of twitch can cause problems or doubt or not seeing the field – quickly enough, or when you do see it, not having the confidence just to let it rip and get the ball out there to the playmakers. I did not see any problems with Hank Brown in that. He was letting it rip, and against a team like New Mexico, it's a great place to start practice-wise. I understand they're one of the worst defenses in college football. It's going to get tougher this weekend, though, and he doesn't need to get overconfident, and I'm sure he will not. He sounds like he's a very grounded kid, like you said, and Auburn is just going to have to everyone around him is going to have to step up and play even better since he's a younger quarterback. And everyone's going to have to protect the football better. You can't have these turnovers against an Arkansas, an SEC-caliber team like you did against New Mexico, or you're going to put them in a short field and give them an advantage and give somebody like Bobby Petrino advantages like that, and he's going to take advantage of it, and he's going to bury you.
If you would have had a time machine on Friday and I would have told you, or you would have told me, hey, Hank Brown's going to throw four touchdowns on Saturday, can you guess on who they're going to throw it to? Who would have caught those four touchdowns? Would you have bet on Rivaldo Fairweather, Camden Brown, Jarquez Hunter, and Micah Riley Ducker? Would you have guessed on those four guys? On Micah Riley, Jarquez, Rivaldo,
no,
and Camden Brown? Absolutely not.
It's nice to see Micah Riley get in there.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know he's in there because of some injuries. Brandon Frazier's hurt.
Yeah, he has surgery today or tomorrow.
He's out for the season now.
I don't know if he's out for the season. Freeze said he may have a chance to come back late.
Well, I mean, that's a position where Auburn has plenty of talent and plenty of depth.
He said they're going to have to move somebody in that room.
Who?
I have no idea.
I mean, you got Fairweather. You got Riley. You got the guy from Maryland. Is Luke
I think
Deal
you could
still
almost
hurt?
I mean, he played Saturday. He had a catch Saturday. I think you could – I mean, do you put Camden Brown in there? I don't know.
No, I don't think he's big enough to play tight end.
I don't know. Free said they're going to have to put somebody in that room.
Maybe instead of putting somebody in that room, you mix up your formations and bunch up some receivers right there on the end like other teams do. You know, maybe you make some adjustments by putting a smaller guy in there and just having him stretch the field from the inside of the field and to the outside. I mean, I don't think that you just have to scratch what you're doing and move somebody over. I mean, you can have different formations.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, Auburn's had plenty of tight ends. Michael Riley's one. It was nice to see him step up. It was a heck of a play call in that situation, too. That is what California did to us last week, moving their quarterback out, rolling to his throwing side, layering the route tree, and giving the quarterback the option to throw the ball somewhere where only the person he's throwing to can catch it, or he can run for the first down, or in that case, a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That was nice to see. I'd not seen that kind of rollout offense in quite some time from Auburn. Highly effective in the red zone, and it cost New Mexico when Riley got his touchdown.
I believe it was Justin Hokanson who had a stat earlier today. I'm going to see if I can find it. It was about all the different touchdown scores that Auburn has had this season.
Let me say, I'm happy to see Cam Brown get him a touchdown. I know he played more against California. I was a little disappointed in him playing more instead of the younger guys last week. But he stepped up, too. I forgot about him earlier when I was talking about the older guys on the wide receiver room, KLS, obviously you're kind of your leader there, it looks like to me. But I forgot about Cam Brown getting that touchdown in that game, and good for him.
Auburn leads the country. This is from Hokanson. Auburn leads the country with 9 players who have already caught a touchdown pass in the first 3 games this season.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
How'd you have a loss?
Can I also say, well, how about this? Let's get to break. Because we also need to address the penalty problem that happened on Saturday. Because I think Auburn has a major penalty problem. Freeze admitted it could be the most he's ever had for a team in a game in his coaching career. And while we're giving a lot of credit to the Auburn defense for bending and not breaking, I don't think they deserve all the credit.
Oh, no.
I think New Mexico got in their own way quite a bit a few times. We'll talk about that when we come back, as we're rolling on here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Got a few more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us at 3:30, so stick around for that. We'll talk to him about what happened this weekend around Auburn football, around Auburn athletics, and everything you need to know for Tiger Talk coming up tonight over on Wings 94.3. And I got a question in the On the Line text box, Uncle Tebow. We're going to get to that in just a second. But I mentioned before we went to break that the Auburn defense, while it's been people have been on them a little bit, especially the secondary. They had some really nice interceptions. I believe from the PFF, they had a Pop-Tart play of the weekend, I guess is what they call
that.
Did you see this? Mm-hmm. The interception over the back. I mean, look, it was impressive. It was.
Yeah, and Thompson.
Yeah, and Auburn forced a couple of turnovers finally this weekend on defense. But it doesn't excuse – here's what I said. Those interceptions don't excuse the gaping holes and the losing of receivers by the secondary. I get that. But at the end of the day, New Mexico only scored 19 points. That is correct. But here we go again with the score doesn't tell the whole story. New Mexico had so many penalties on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrific to watch. It was terrible football. It took over 3 hours for the first three quarters of the football game to conclude. That's absurd. New Mexico had 16 penalties for 112 yards. 95% of those were on the offense. Auburn had 8 for 88 yards. That's not okay either.
That's a lot.
But as much credit as we're giving Auburn's defense for holding New Mexico to 19 points, I think you got to slander the New Mexico offense for just going the wrong way time and time again. I mean, what a disgusting football game this was at times. Even the broadcasters talked about it. Radio and television. It was terrible. And you have to go both sides there. I had to at least say that.
Well, you know, I've got a couple of texts from friends of mine who are listening that they're a little perplexed by my comments about the defense, and it not being such a big deal to me about what happened Saturday night against New Mexico. And
so you're not worried?
No, I mean, I don't. I would think that, you know, a little bit of concern when I look over to SECSports.com and check out team stats of what's happened in the SEC, and Auburn is ranked dead last in passing defense in the league.
That's not good.
And we've played Alabama, A&M, Cal. In New Mexico, giving up 242 yards per game. I mean, even Florida, who's putrid, is 15th, and their defense is awful. So that concerns me. I still got to see a little bit more data, though, before I'm just going to, you know, start running down DJ Durkin and the young guys on the defense. One thing that I noticed eye test-wise, Jacob, we were talking about at the break, the interior of that defensive line to me looks a little out of shape.
They got to get after it.
And I haven't seen an Auburn interior defensive lineman dominate. And I'm not saying everybody has to play at this level since Derrick Brown in 2017-ish. I mean, it's impossible for everybody to get to first-round draft status in college football, but – crying out loud, man. I mean, that defensive line inside looks a lot like that defensive line from last year on the inside, and that could be a big problem to watch. Now, we're not getting the pressure.
Well, I think they need some
either
help
schematically or athletically that I feel like we should be getting on a little bit more regular basis defensively. That would sure help out the defensive backs.
Well, Auburn is dropping linebackers. They continue to let Jalen McLeod drop in coverage rather than bringing the beast that he is and let him rush the quarterback.
Not a fan.
He's one of the most athletic dudes on the team. Let him eat. Let him get after it.
Maybe they felt like that was something that they had to do against New Mexico because their offense is so unorthodox. But and, if they do that, if they do that moving forward, that's going to cost them big time. And
I feel fans are worried about the defense because they see what could be coming. They see the Carson Becks and the Brady Cooks of the world that if you just have gaping holes, they will beat you. They will pick you apart. They will embarrass you on the road.
I think what fans are most concerned about is this just continues to be some of these same problems that we've seen for years. And I say it, I've said it before, I think the defense over the past 10 years or so, for the most part, except when completely outmatched by superior programs, has done enough for Auburn to keep them in games to win. And the offense has been what's let us down, especially in big moments. But I do continue to see these same problems again. Defensive backs not turning their head to look where the ball is and the face guarding.
We don't even
Although
have time
like
for me to get into
that. First interference against Antonio Kite was a little unfair because they were really fighting for the ball, including the receiver as well, and pushing and shoving. But there's some of these same – where's the pressure? That's what a college football defense has to do. If you go into zone too many times and you don't have defensive linemen who are going to get to the quarterback and create havoc, good quarterbacks, which is just about anybody in college football that has a pulse, are going to pick you apart, especially in today's offense-centric world. So you've got to bring pressure. It has to be inconsistent where it comes from and try and confuse the quarterback and get them thinking, where is the blitz coming from, and it's coming from somewhere else. I.e. the Dan Lanning method of defense where you don't know half the time where those blitzes are coming from and who's coming. And it doesn't just have to be a defensive lineman or linebacker. You see the elite defenses in college football bringing really fast guys along with a lineman to create some speed to get to the quarterback and create some pressure and therefore some doubt and confusion in the quarterback's mind.
Speaking of quarterbacks, do have a text from our boy Jeff down in Enterprise at 334-784-1067. That's the text box number. Is Hank as mobile as Peyton? Simple answer, no.
No.
Hugh Freeze has told us that. I think you can see that. Peyton Thorne, we've always talked about underrated speed for Peyton Thorne. Doesn't mean Hank can't move, though, but I think Hugh Freeze in this offense trusts him more in the pocket, can escape if he needs to. But I think the jury could still be out on that a little bit, on whether Hank can just take off and run. But if he's a better passer, do we really want him doing that? I don't know. But Hugh Freeze has told us straight up, no, he's not as mobile as Peyton Thorne was. We got to get to break because Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up after this. We'll talk Auburn football, Auburn athletics, and what you need to know for Tiger Talk tonight. That's all coming up with 30 more minutes here on ESPN.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz, and joining us on the phone lines, once again, it's been a little bit since we've had this man back on the airwaves. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network is with us here on ESPN. Hillman, my man, hope you're doing well. Happy Monday. It's been a little bit since we've talked to you.
Yeah, I'm doing well, Jacob and Uncle T-Bone. It's weird because, you know, we just have had these weeks that we haven't been able to talk, and I feel like a lot's happened over the last 3 weeks, so we've got a good bit to talk about.
Yes, we do. Well, we'll kind of just get an outlook on everything, if you will, since Auburn is now 2-1 on the season. They defeated Alabama A&M. They dropped the game to Cal, but they bounced back on Saturday with the win over New Mexico. Of course, with the quarterback change, there's been injuries. There's been guys in and out of the lineup. I mean, it's been kind of crazy for Auburn football over the past handful of weeks. But put it into words, summarize it for us, what you've seen, especially from this game this past Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's just important to remember it doesn't matter if you're a fan, just a neutral observer, objective, whatever it is. You can't get too high or too low with this team, I feel like. I think it's important to not get down after that Cal game, not to get too high after the Alabama A&M game. We've seen it can be a bit of a roller coaster ride, but that's just part of it with these young, talented receivers. The defensive backfield is young as well, and obviously a change is made at the quarterback in the last week. So it's important to remember just to stay the course and keep pushing along, and I think that's what Coach Freeze has been preaching to his team, and especially those players that might be a little bit frustrated at this point. They probably wanted to be 3-0 at this point, and you're not, but you still have a long season ahead of you. You haven't even started SEC play, and we all know that you can really bounce back and get back into contention for the conference title or college football playoff or whatever you want to achieve if you do that. Now, again, that's part of it is this team wants to win the rest of their games, but we know that it is an up-and-down season. You've got some tough games ahead of you, and it starts this week with Arkansas.
Jacob, I've been kind of preaching that all day about the highs and lows of a season. I think that's the case for the majority of football programs in college football right now, that any moment, at any day, somebody can rise up and get you if you're not ready to play, and you can do the same to other teams. This Arkansas team comes to town led by our old friend Bobby Petrino on the offensive side of the ball. Third in the league in passing at 259 yards per game. And third in the league in passing at 328 yards a game, third in the league in rushing at 259. What are the Tigers going to do defensively that perhaps they didn't quite do as well as they should have against New Mexico to slow down Arkansas?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think there were some that might have looked at Arkansas and New Mexico as similar personnel-wise. And I don't know if it's going to be similar as far as the actual game plans go on the offensive side for those teams. But Taylen Green is going to be he's a handful. He's a dual-threat guy that you really have to worry about in the run game. And I think that's where Keldrick Falk and Jalen McLeod, Heron Crawford, and the rest of that front seven, but specifically the guys on the edge and the end, they're very important. They're going to have to make sure they contain Green and not allow him to run silly. But I do think that also the defensive backfield, from what we saw last week, there were some breakdowns. That's exactly what we saw, and that's why New Mexico was able to sustain some drives to be third down and long, and then someone would be wide open. But I do think that is something that can easily be fixed. That's as simple as a pre-snap adjustment or whatever it is. These guys are talented. You've got some experience, but I think you've got more talent that back there. So as the weeks go on, I think these guys are going to learn and they're going to continue to grow. So I do think that when you look at it, Taylen Green is similar to what you faced this past weekend against New Mexico, but he's obviously an SEC quarterback, and he's shown that the last few weeks, and you're just going to have to make sure he doesn't have his way with the defense.
Well, even Hugh Freeze admitted today, Hillman, in his press conference, his weekly press conference, that, I mean, the game plan, especially defensively, is going to look different against Arkansas, against a lot of teams, that it was against New Mexico, because they were so worried about him running the football. Now, Taylen Green can do that, but he can also beat you with his arm as well. So interested to see what that looks like. And speaking of quarterbacks, got to get your thoughts, of course, on what was the biggest news late last week of Hank Brown officially getting the start against New Mexico, his first official start in college football. And I think most people can agree he looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, for sure. I thought it was a very very positive game for Hank Brown, outside of the few minutes when it was pouring down rain at the end of the first half. And, you know, it's hard to really discredit him for that. That's going to be a struggle for anybody, especially a young quarterback. So it was really nice to see him get out there, and he looked confident. That's what I thought was really impressive for a young guy getting his first start on homecoming, and especially when in the back of his head he knew that there was a chance that the sky would fall out and it would rain on them. And fortunately, he only did that for a few minutes, and he didn't really perform that well in the rain, but he didn't really make any mistakes. So that's what was important, at least in my eyes, for him. And I do think that it's really going to be interesting to see as the offense continues to open up for him, because I don't think that, you know, Coach Freeze said it on Monday before the quarterback announcement was made, was that the game plan wasn't going to be as I guess, diverse as the Cal one was. He thought there was a little bit too much into it. So it was probably a little probably simplified. I'm wondering how much more they go in depth as the weeks go forward and you get to these SEC defenses that are going to be looking for the same things that Auburn's run over the last few weeks. So I'll be interested to hear what Coach Freeze says on Tiger Talk. I know earlier today he said that Brown didn't miss a check, a pre-snap check. So that's a big compliment, and I know a big deal for this offensive staff. The quarterback has got to understand what's going on pre-snap and is ready to go to make the right decision whenever the play begins. So I'm interested to hear what Coach Freeze has to say about that.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. That's what stood out to me, too, was he said on plays that should have been runs were runs. Hank Brown was 100% on those and said there were about three plays where he said he didn't make a bad play. He just didn't make – he said there was a better decision that Hank Brown could have made. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Freeze said today that the game plan was not going to be anything crazy against Arkansas. He said you got to make it, you know, limit it, make it simple, and then execute that over and over again until you're forced to change it. So maybe that will be the game plan moving forward against any of the opponents if Hank Brown's the quarterback.
Yeah, I do think it's important to remember that he's a young guy. He's still got a lot to learn. And again, that's true for a lot of this team. But I do think that as time goes, you will see the adjustments be made. You will see see things become more, more critical, more in-depth than what we've seen the last 2 weeks. I think, obviously, Cal was one where that defense, Justin Wilcox, is a great defensive-minded coach. They really got to Auburn and that offense. But in this last week, you took advantage of a New Mexico team that didn't have the strongest defense. And you were able to really focus on the simple things and making the right decisions, making the right reads. And then obviously moving forward, you're going to get to Oklahoma, you're going to get to Georgia, and those defenses are going to be a lot better. And we'll see things change a little bit then.
Jacob, hard to believe that after this week, a quarter of the football season will be past us as we move on, which means November is right around the corner. And obviously, that's football season here on the Plains, but it's also basketball season now as well. What's going on with Auburn basketball? And did I read this correctly that the Auburn-Purdue tickets go on sale tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, you were looking at a lot of schedule announcements and finalizations as time moves along here. And obviously, we're excited for the basketball season to tip off. Starts with tip-off at Tumors. That's on October 17th. Cole Swindell, he'll be hosting a concert for everyone after the basketball activities are done. So we're very excited for that and everything that we're getting ready for this basketball season. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about how difficult this non-conference schedule has shaked out to be. I really think that Maui Invitational is going to be a big deal for Auburn, as well as I would just say that first road test, it's technically a neutral site, but when you go to Houston, that's going to be a road game playing against the Cougars, one of the best teams in the nation. I think it's going to be important to get off to a good start. Do you have to win that game? No, not necessarily, but I would like to see Auburn get off to a good start and be competitive in that game. Similar to how the Baylor game went last year, where you're in it till the end. Now, of course, I think Auburn had a lead and lost that. You don't want to do that again, but a close game against Houston on the road would go a long way to propelling this team to a great end of November and December against some tough opponents. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what the conference schedule shakes out to be exactly. We've got an idea of it, but some of those Tuesday, Wednesday matchups and the game times haven't been announced, so we're waiting on that.
Right, but, I mean, the way that those are stacked up, I mean, there's some really good road trips and tough road trips, I guess, good home games as well for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers. Same thing on the women's basketball side, too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Coach Shea and that program, they are continuing to be on the rise, and I really think that the way the women's basketball schedule shakes out now, you've only got one home and away opponent, and Auburn doesn't get Alabama twice. It's going to be really weird to see how things shake out in the future with the SEC and these schedules, whether it's in football or basketball, baseball, whatever it is, and see how that works out. But no, we're excited for both those programs to get started. Tip off at Tumors again, October 17th. That's going to be an awesome event. as it has been in the past. So we're really looking forward to that.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every Monday at 3:30 here during On the Line on ESPN Radio. Tell us what else is going on around Auburn Athletics. It's a busy, busy time. Volleyball, soccer, everything is happening right now. And, man, I was over there today in the baseball renovation there at Plainsman Park looking really, really sharp.
Yeah, it's wild to see Plainsman Park continue to grow. I think it'll be an even more drastic change when we get past that last home game against Oklahoma to the next one against Vanderbilt. I think that month of October will be a big month for that facility, and it'll start to really take shape at that point. But, yeah, you mentioned Auburn soccer, Auburn volleyball, and Auburn soccer is continuing to dominate. It is the best defensive team in the country at this point, still not have allowed a single goal this season. So that's 8 non-conference games, 8-0, 8 shutouts. It seems like every week someone else is being named to an SEC Player of the Week, whether it's offensive or defensive. So Maddie Prohaska, Olivia Woodson, they're two of the leaders on that team, and they continue to move forward. This week, though, SEC play starts. We'll have Karen Hoppe on Tiger Talk tonight to talk it over, but they host Vanderbilt on Thursday at 6:30 Central at the Auburn Soccer Complex, and then host Florida on Sunday. So that'd be a good way to bookend your Auburn versus Arkansas football weekend, going to support the 6th-ranked Tigers in the country. Mm. So it's really awesome what that program's doing. And then Auburn volleyball, they're going to be on the road for the next few weeks until SEC play starts. But very important weekend in Birmingham coming up, playing Stanford, UAB, South Alabama. It's all those in-state schools that they're facing at Bartow Arena in Birmingham. So if you're up in the 205 this weekend, September 19th, September 20th, September 21st, go support Auburn volleyball. And then they'll be back September 27th to open SEC play against Kentucky.
Jacob Hillman, Auburn Sports Network, him and the entire crew do a fantastic job on Saturdays. They also do a fantastic job on Mondays for Tiger Talk during football season. You can catch that tonight, 6 to 7, over on Wings 94.3. Tonight here locally in the Auburn Opelika area. You said Coach Hoppe and then, of course, Coach Hugh Freeze tonight, correct?
That's correct. So we'll be looking ahead. We'll be looking back at some of the previous wins, talking all those shutouts with Coach Hoppe, talking about the New Mexico game and Hank Brown with Coach Freeze, and then we'll be looking ahead to those SEC openers against Arkansas for football and Vanderbilt for soccer tonight at Bob Howard's Victory Grill.
Awesome, man. Hey, appreciate your time. Great to have you back on the show. Have a fantastic week, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Yeah, let's get on the street, guys. I'll be back next week, and then we'll keep going for the rest of the athletic year, all right?
I love it. Thanks so much for your time today, man.
All right, talk to y'all then. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Check him out at the Auburn Sports Network on social media. You can go to their website. Again, Tiger Talk is tonight over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, Radio Alabama app, 6 to 7. They'll be live out of Baumhauer's. If you want to go check them out, good friends of ours over there, Baumhauer's, or again, you can listen on Wings 94.3. Back after this to wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us as he does most Mondays, I should say. And we got off a little off of our, I guess, our path there for a couple of weeks, but he's back with us on the show, so we appreciate him and his time talking Auburn football, Auburn athletics, and telling you what you need to know for Tiger Talk tonight. Again, that is over on Wings 94.3 and wingsfm.com, 6 to 7 every single Monday. If you missed any of the show today, man, we've had a lot of fun talking Auburn football. A couple of reactions from SEC teams around the rest of college football. Christian Griffin and I will get into that a lot more tomorrow in terms of what else has happened around college football, because things need to be talked about. I mean, there's some teams that are really good and some teams that are really bad. And so more of that on tomorrow's show. But if you missed any of our reactions to Auburn and New Mexico today, you can go and find that on our station website, ESPNAU.com. That's also where the SEC Football Challenge is. So if you are still rocking and rolling on that, be sure to get your picks in before Fridays at midnight. We'll have that there for you as well. Final thoughts, at least for today, Uncle T-Bone, on Auburn football, college football. I mean, you won't be back till Friday, so you got to get it out now, my man. I mean, you got coming out of the weekend, we're 3 weeks through college football season, which is kind of wild to think about. We're 4 weeks into the high school season, 3 weeks into college football. Where the heck did it go?
Yeah, September will be gone before we know it, right? Halfway through the month and then some. It was interesting. I think it was a little bit of an overreaction to drop Georgia down out of number one in most of the polls. Texas and Arch Manning let that hype begin.
Yeah, how about that?
Boy, what a nice benefit to UT when you're starting man who's a Heisman candidate, you know, candidacy worthy type quarterback gets hurt, and here comes Arch Manning. I'm going to have to see a little bit more of Texas, though, as well. But, man, rolling up into Michigan week two, dominating them like they did.
Michigan's bad.
I don't think that they're very good either. They didn't come close to covering that Arkansas State line.
No.
They're going to make a quarterback change this weekend going up when,
I saw that.
When USC comes to town.
I saw that, yeah.
So the defending national champions already looking for answers post-Harbaugh era. Like we predicted, and most of the college football world that had any sense would have predicted, Jacob. So some other thoughts around college football. K-State's a very underrated team.
They got a big one coming up. Is that, again, this Friday night? Is that right? Or did they play this past Friday night? I can't remember.
They played this past Friday against Arizona and destroyed Arizona.
There's a big game coming up this Friday night, though. Another top 25 game
Nebraska
on Friday.
Illinois.
Yes, that's right. Nebraska-Illinois, which I don't know the last time this is a stat. Somebody find this in the history books. When's the last time those two teams were in the top 25 or played in the top 25? I know that, I mean, Nebraska and Illinois haven't always been in the same conference, but
sure,
it's wild to see those two programs be back relevant in college football.
Yeah, I'm really excited about having Nebraska back. Dylan Raiola, the quarterback there, is going to be beyond legit. Didn't like what I saw post-game, Colorado State. The Buffaloes continue to
be a joke.
I mean, they just continue to be a bunch of jerks. I mean, you know, whatever happened to, you know, winning with some class, being the bigger man.
I mean, both quarterbacks were just jawing at each
other.
The
whole game.
Yeah.
And those two programs obviously don't like each other very much. So what? Take the W and move on. But, you know, it just doesn't seem like they can stand it. And Colorado's in for a rude awakening as they begin their Big 12 play in earnest against Baylor this weekend. I told you, man, and I mean it, the last 4 weeks, I think I've watched more college football than I have in years. I mean, and I watch a lot of college football.
It's just so fun, man.
I've been very in tune, I feel like, to what's going on. And it's, you know, it's shocking to see the Florida teams falling apart, minus Miami. What a great opportunity for them to step up.
I think Miami's
they
legit.
May be legit.
Yeah.
And Cam Ward's definitely one of those people taking a step towards the Heisman Trophy race. The SEC, I think a lot's going to shake out, obviously, as conference play just about begins in full. We'll have a few more of these non-conference games play out this week. More SEC versus SEC games. Auburn opens up SEC play. And I can't, you know, I won't be back till Friday, so I'm going to go ahead and set the tone for the rest of the week. Auburn really needs to win this football game. I'm not saying it's do or die by any means, but they need to go ahead and take care of business this weekend. The lines came out, a three-point favorite at Jordan-Hare. You're probably catching 3 points at home. That means it's a pretty equal matchup.
Mm.
58 points on the over-under. Auburn's going to have to play a good football game because Petrino's going to come in here looking to take some names.
You'll be back on Friday, Uncle T-Bone, with me Mondays and Fridays. But I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.